WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Okay, we're in this brand new study here at Island called Understanding Eschatology. Now today is promised the false prophet. Who is he? What's his significance? How does he fit into end times? First couple of verses on your handout, you'll see, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." Also, Matthew 24:24. Jesus again. Notice Jesus is warning people, be on the lookout for this man, because he's a bad man. He's a bad man. Matthew 24:24. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Then he says, see, I have told you beforehand. You see, you all, you've got tomorrow's newspaper right in front of you or on your lap. Hopefully you brought it with you. The Bible's tomorrow's newspaper. It's like going to the track with tomorrow's newspaper. You've got the winner of every race. He says, see, I have told you beforehand. Now that verse here about sums everything up. And the Lord specifically has the end of the age in mind when he spoke this. Now, he's warned us twice already. For false Christs, that's messiahs, that's the first half of Revelation chapter 13, and false prophets will rise up and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. That means even the seasoned believer is what he's talking about. Yes, to deceive even you. Meaning the deception is going to be so mighty and so convincing, even the seasoned believer could be deceived if it were possible. By the way, how well do you know the Word of God? How well do you know the word today? Paul the Apostle wrote, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders. Lying, David Copperfield, lying wonders. These lying wonders will be carried out by the third person of this unholy trinity, known as the false prophet. What's the significance? He's the one person responsible for forcing people to take the mark of the beast. Also, he's the one that will deceive everyone into thinking he's legit, especially Jewish folk. How does he fit in end times? This unholy trinity will have power during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Now, I've got a list here of 10 points regarding the false prophet. We'll look at all 10 of these as we read these 8 verses or so in Revelation chapter 13 is where we're at. Please write these down. Write down these winners to all the races. Have it framed. Put it up on your wall. Memorize it. I mean, you know more about this guy than he knows about himself. See, he didn't say it's not for you to know, Steinbrück. He said, here's the list of all of them. Or when they said, what'll be the sign of your coming? How do we know when you're coming back? He didn't say, but it's not for you to know. He gave a list blow by blow of everything that's going to happen. Because he wants you to know. And he wants to use you. Out here in the streets today, in this crooked, evil world. You guys are being sent out here as apostles. That's what the word means. With the knowledge of the truth. Okay, Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. It says, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. There's point number one. The false prophet is a counterfeit Christian. The false prophet is a counterfeit Christian. You'll understand the book. The Lamb is who? It's Christ, right? John 1:29. Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. The dragon is Satan. Revelation chapter 12. Behold, that dragon of old called the devil and Satan who deceiveth the whole world. Understand the symbol, you understand the book. So someone with two horns like a lamb but speaks like a dragon is a fake Christian. Again, I point you to Jesus' words. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Jesus is warning you, watch out for this guy. Watch out for this guy. Also, 2 Corinthians 11:14, the Apostle Paul says, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. You know what that means? This is where you'll find him. Not in this one, but some other pulpit. Whoever it is who corrupts the person of Jesus Christ, again, hey, Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. You'll know them by what comes out of their mouth. What they believe and teach about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the man in the glory, the Son of God, the sinless Son of God, who is the only way to salvation. No devil will say that from a pulpit. No devil. Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. That's not metamorphe. That's a different Greek word. Metaschema means to change your outward appearance. Not to change from the inside. He can't do that. Only you can do that, and Jesus does that. Amen. Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Again, like Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. If you don't know the word of God, your playbook, as I say, this is the Christian's playbook. If you don't know your playbook, you will be deceived. How well do you know the playbook? I mean, imagine that. You're on a football team. Jesus is the coach. You're in the Super Bowl. It's 3rd and 20, and the coach comes in and he says, Hebrews 5:14.
I don't know that one, coach.
That's what I say for all of you that are writing this down a second time and thinking to yourselves, oh, you preached that before in 1974. Where's your list? Now, Ron Howard, I know he's got his. Probably show it to me later. We're professional Christians. We need to know that Jesus said, God the Father says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Hebrews 5:14, solid food belongs to those who are of full age, who by reasons of use have their senses gymnos, exercised to discern good from evil. How well do you know the playbook? Or Romans 8:37, he might say, when you're at the line, Romans 8:37.
I don't know that. Do you know that? Oh, I don't know that.
We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. How well do you know the playbook? You will know the counterfeit by his fruits. But you got to know the original. It's like those guys that study counterfeit money. They study the original, not the counterfeit. They know the real McCoy. And the counterfeit won't pass muster. You get here. He said, well, I took the Amtrak. I got in around 5. Now, if you fall for that, you're a sucker. Whereas the alarm goes off in the child of God, at least it should, at least it better. If someone shows up on an Amtrak and says he's Jesus, you better head for the hills. For false Christs and false prophets will arise up and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even you. Those that don't spend time in the Word of God, who are not intimate with the Lord through spending time with him in his Word, will hear that remark about Amtrak and say, cool beaners. Or some other stupid saying like that. I hate that saying. But those who know their God, the buzzers and the alarms will go off, and you'll hear in your spirit, no, he's coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. Even so, that is, even so, these people here are going to wail, not me. I'm not wailing when he comes back. I'm going to praise him when he comes back. I'm not going to wail. What's your response going to be when Jesus comes back? Those that are deceived are going to wail. They're going to look up and they're going to look down, you see. And there it is, right there. Everything Fauci told him to do. It's right there in your hand. 666. Just like the government told you, so you could go out here and buy watermelon. I don't make it up, I just comment on it. Or, like the proverbial coach calling in a play, Matthew 24:27, when you hear someone say he came in on the Amtrak, that is, as lightning shines to the east and flashes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus is coming back in the clouds, not on a choo-choo train. And he expects you to know that. He doesn't owe you anything other than the truth. He expects you to know that. If you drink the cyanide and follow this guy off to some island, he expects you to know that. Or this, as if those other two isn't enough. Men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you will so come back in like manner as you saw him leave. Write that down and take it to the bank. When Jesus comes back, he's coming with the clouds. And those that are his, will rejoice at that. Those that aren't his will wail. They'll wail because they guessed wrong, Bill. They guessed wrong. All right, Revelation 13:11. Let's get this sermon started. Then I saw another beast. First beast was Antichrist. We'll get to him in the coming months. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon, and he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. And he causes the earth and those that dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. All right, there's point number two. The false prophet demands and commands worship. The false prophet demands and commands worship. We'll also see who the people are to worship. The Antichrist, who, if you remember, he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. If you swallow that hook, line, and sinker, that's who you're going to worship. By the way, there's another lie you'd fall into if you don't know the word of God. Verse 13. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. All right, point number three. Unprecedented deception. Unprecedented deception. Or as old Vladimir Putin would put it, the likes of which you have never seen. That's all right. God's got a bigger gavel in mind. Not since the days of Elijah has this been done. If you have a good Bible, if you'll look up, if you have a Bible that's got references in it, right there you'll notice 1 Kings 18, verse 38, 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 and 10 and 11, because that's the last guy who's done that. You see, this was the great revelation God gave me last night. We're going to get to as we move along. The Bible is trying to tell you that this man is going to say that he is Elijah, because he was the last one to do it. And deception is the great thing at the end of the age. Deception. Unprecedented deception. We read in Luke 9 that James and John wanted to do it. Remember? They said, Lord, should we call fire down out of heaven and kill these rotten Samaritans? Jesus goes, you know not what manner of spirit you are. This will be a time of unprecedented deception. The world has never seen. Verse 14 goes along with this. Let me read verse 14. Out of my Bible translation. Now remember, Wednesday night, we're looking at Bible translations. Don't miss it. Or join us online if you're not going to be around here. This is from my Bible translation. It's called the Majority Text, which means it comes from the majority of all of the Greek manuscripts that have been found in 2,000 years. This is how my Bible reads on Revelation chapter 13, verse 14. Now, if you're going to notice, it's different than all of yours. Mine is the only one, but you'll notice it in your center column, what I'm going to read to you. John speaking. Listen to this. He deceives my own people who dwell on the earth by the signs which were granted to him to do, saying to those that dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and came to life. Most translations read, he deceives those that dwell on the earth. You catch the difference? My Bible says he deceives my own people that dwell on the earth. So let me ask the question. In your opinion, what are the implications here of both of these readings? How does the difference in manuscripts impact someone's interpretation? If the correct reading is he deceives those that dwell on the earth, then to me he's talking about unbelievers. But if the majority of every Greek manuscript is right, and if the reading is he deceives my own people that dwell on the earth, then who's he talking about when he says my own people? Jews or Christians? Maybe there's been no rapture yet, and the Christians are still around. This we do know. Those that don't know the word of God will be deceived. Whoever they are, I don't know. You got to be alive at that time to know it. It's the great mystery. We don't know. But the majority of all Greek manuscripts in existence read John saying, he deceives my own people that dwell on the earth. All right, point number four. The false prophet is very powerful. The false prophet is very powerful. Verse 15. It was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Now, the King James here, instead of breath, has got the word life. It's the Greek word pneuma, proper name for the Holy Spirit. Hagios pneuma. Pneuma, spirit, air, breath. More on that in a moment, though. But let's really quickly stop and look at this image first. Then we're going to get back to the lying miracle. The image. He said it was given to him to give breath or life to the image of the beast. The image is the Greek word icon. Probably a word I've done more study on than any other Greek word. Icon. An icon always has a prototype. Like Microsoft Word icon on your computer is the image of the original. Icon always has a prototype. An icon is an exact representation of something else. An exact copy of an original. The reflection of the sun on the water is the icon. Speaking of the Son of God, Colossians 1:15, we read, he is the icon of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Jesus Christ is the exact express icon of God the Father. So the icon of the beast is likewise related to the Antichrist. It's his icon. As Jesus is related to the Father, as Kennedy is related to a 50-cent piece. Hear me, there's always a prototype. The icon is never an original. These two are linked together by looks, perhaps. Maybe a living statue that comes to life. How about this one? The Frankenstein monster is the icon of who? Dr. Frankenstein, right? He's nothing by himself. He is the icon. He made him. Here's another example. When Jesus asked for a coin to be brought to him, remember what he said? He said, whose icon is this? In Greek. And they said to him what? Caesar's. Dwight D. Eisenhower, stamped on a silver dollar, is the icon of Dwight D. Eisenhower. It's an exact representation of an original. What's the image of the beast, you ask? Jesus warned us about this thing. Matthew 24:15. It says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, let those that are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who was on his housetop not go down to get anything out of his house. Let him who was in the field not go back to get his clothes. Jesus calls this the abomination of desolation. Last week I called him, to put a modern day, everyday spin on that, I call him Anthony Fauci. That's the closest thing to what it'll look like. What's that? Now, that's neither good nor bad. That's someone who enforces, someone who's going to ensure that you have got some kind of identifying mark in order to buy or sell. I haven't said anything bad about Mr. Fauci. That's just a modern day word picture or understand who this thing is. And that would make Fauci the icon of who? Huh? Number five. The false prophet will call himself Elijah.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You are listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. Now, what kind of love is this? The word for love here is not the word for erotic love. It is for sacrificial, self-giving love. You see, Jesus loved the church enough to die for the church. You ought to love your wife enough to die for her. Oh, you say, I do. Well, do you? Well, I'll tell you one way I can find out. Do you live for her? You see, a man willing to die for his wife shows it by the way that he lives for his wife. And you don't have to die physically to die to your pride, ambition, ego. When the Bible says that you're to love your wife as Christ loved the church, what it literally means is nothing is too precious for you to give up for your wife and your home, except your relationship to God. And I'm going to tell you something else. Most women do not mind being in subjection to a husband who loves her enough to die for her and shows it by the way he lives for her. Isn't that true?
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
Above all kings, above all nations.